I was learning with Yosef Linzer today, Or HaChaim al HaTorah, and one of the issues that he addresses in the beginning of the Parsha, when he says, Ela toldos Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvaz Rishana, Hayroes Echa Batzon. So Ela, Chazal say, is usually coming to cancel out earlier things and say, the upcoming thing is the thing that we're sticking with, the thing that we're working with. Ela is coming to cancel out something else and say, just the following. So what is it coming to cancel out here and say, just the following about? That was question one. And question two was, it sounds like it's going to list off the children of Yaakov. Ela told us Yaakov. And then all it talks about is Yosef and Shvaz Reshana, and it goes into the whole story of Yosef and the brothers. So says the Or HaChaim in one of his answers, Ela told us Yaakov, these are the happenings of Yaakov. If you think that you just heard about Yaakov's life, about Yaakov's suffering, about Yaakov's tests, in how he had his brother Esav running after him and trying to kill him, and he had to steal the brachos, and everything that he went through with Lavan and marrying the wrong woman and being tricked, and his daughter being raped and taken away, and etc. If you think you heard about Yaakov's tests and Yaakov's suffering, Ela toldos Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvaz Reshani. You know what Yaakov really went through? If you, what was his really painful experience? His like the hardest test that he had. Everything else was nothing in comparison to what he's about to go through now with the losing of Yosef for the next 22 years. I gave Yosef a mashal. He said, imagine you have somebody who he needs to move with his family into a house, and for a while they have to live in like a small apartment, cramped, while the house is being built, while they buy the furniture, while they do all the renovations that they need to do in this house. And it's costing a lot of money, and the husband and the wife, they're complaining and crying all the time, how are we going to pay for this, and how are we going to do this, and it's so hard to live like this in cramped quarters, and they have to drive so far to get to the kids' school every single day, because they're where it is that they're living until the house is ready, and it's really tough for them for those 3 years, making the payments, and not everything works out, and a pipe burst, and everything. But finally, they end up moving into the house, and life gets so much better. And then, like, a little while later, one day, his 8-year-old son runs into the street, is hit by a truck, and killed on the spot. And then his life is like shattered to pieces, blackness, darkness. What I went through, till now, that was not a test. That was nothing. That was pleasurable. This is a test. And that's what we see here in the Torah. Ela told us Yaakov, Yosef ben Shvaz Reshana, you think you heard about Yaakov's life? That was nothing in his eyes. Here is what Yaakov really went through. And there's a Rashi that says, why did this happen? And the Or HaChaim also refers to this. It says, Bikesh Yaakov, when the first pasuk in the Parsha says why it happened. Ve'yeshev Yaakov be'eretz Meguri Aviv. What's the Lashon Ve'yeshev? He resided, he rested. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva. Yaakov felt, I went through so much difficulties, challenges. Now I just want to learn, teach my children, get nachas from the 12 tribes that are being raised underneath me, see my grandchildren. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva, he wanted to be peaceful now, so Hashem taught him a lesson. Kafetz alav rogzo shel Yosef, he sent him now the biggest challenge of his life, what happened with Yosef. I was thinking to myself afterwards, imagine Yaakov Avinu would have just had a chance to see that Rashi. All he had to do is learn one Rashi on Chumash. Bikesh Yaakov leishev b'shalva, kafetz alav rogzo shel Yosef. If Yaakov would have just known this whole thing is just a test from Hashem. One Rashi. If he would have just known that before all this happened, everything would have been different. It would have been much easier. Okay, it's hard. You won't see your son. Everything's going to work out well. This is all just a test. Then the whole thing would have not been painful. It would not have been difficult. And he would have been able to handle it much easier. If only Avram Avinu would have seen the pasuk in the Torah that says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and tested Avram and then told him, go sacrifice your son. If he just would have seen that pasuk, that phrase, and Hashem tested Avraham, all of a sudden the whole test would have been lifted. It would have been gone. The beginning of Sefer Iyov, Iyov had many children. He was super wealthy. He had a great life, and everything was going perfectly well for him. And he was a tzaddik and a tamim. And Iyov, it says very good things about him. And the Satan, it says in the first parak of Iyov, came to Kodesh Baruch Hu and said, oh yeah, you think Iyov is so firm? Test him. Take things away from him and then see how religious he is. If Iyov would have just seen those two psukim, where the Satan went to Hashem and said, test him, and Hashem said, okay, you go test him and you'll see. If you would have just seen those psukim, all of a sudden it wouldn't have been a test anymore. If only we were to hear in Shemayim right before any decision that we make, anywhere that we go, anywhere, you are about to be tested. This was perfectly set up and planned out. Already from 10 years ago, we set the stage for what you are about to go through, and the decisions that are in front of you are the ones that we want you to be challenged with. Then all of a sudden, we all would know what the right choice to make would be, and it would lift the entire difficulty of it. Yosef also, if you think in this parsha, what Yosef went through, what a trauma what he went through. His life was unbelievably perfect. To live in the shadow of your father being Yaakov Avinu and your grandfather Yitzchak, and to be learning Torah directly from your father, giving you the most attention, passing the Torah down on through you. Everything is everything is perfect for him. Everything is working out unbelievable. It doesn't look like there's any reason for anything to go wrong. And a day, two later, he finds himself a slave in Egypt, in the lowest of places on earth, where Egypt was known to be deeply involved in Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah and belief in all different gods and far from anything holy. He lived with a Navi. He lived with a prophet, and to have this done to him by his brothers. In one day, in 2 days, his life was from the top to the bottom, suddenly, boom, smashed, like right over there. And how does this make sense? And why is this happening? What's going to come out of this? And how is it going to work out? And day goes by, another day goes by, and he's not seeing any reason behind this. It's not making more and more sense. He's there for longer. And the test is getting more difficult to stay with the same values and the Torah and the Midos and the Tznius of what he had in his father's home, to hold on to it year after year, and then to be tested by a woman who the Chazal described, Eishes Potiphar, to what extent she went to lure Yosef in, changing her clothes every day, and the things she would say to him, and how she would trap him, and how far Yosef had to go. He chained his arms, he did tons of things to fight this difficult test when he's so far away from everything holy, without any salvation in sight, and none of this makes sense, and I don't deserve this, and why is this happening to me? Could have been things that would allow him to be weak and to fall, and still he didn't fall, and it makes, how does this fit into any kind of plan whatsoever, than to be thrown into jail underground? And it just looks really, really, really horrible. In Parshas Pinchas, there's a Rashi where the Torah is counting Klal Yisrael, and it's listing the different Shvatim and who came out of them. Who were the children of Reuven? Who were the children of Shimon? And it's taking an accounting that we should see who all of Klal Yisrael is and who all the families of Klal Yisrael are. And by each one of them, it says like this: Chanoch Mishpachat HaChanochi. Falu mishpachat ha-palu'i. Chetzon mishpachat ha-chetzoni. So it sounds repetitive, and it says, it takes a name like Chetzon, and it says, ha-chetzoni. All that's being changed in the name is the putting a hey in the beginning and a yud at the end. Ha-chetzoni. What do you gain by putting a hey in the beginning and a yud at the end? And Rashi brings down from Chazal over there in Parshas Pinchas, that the Mitzrayim used to say, and the Goyim used to say, who says you guys are actually have Jewish fathers? You think you have Shvatim, your Shevet Reuven, your Shevet Shimon, your Shevet Levi? You were in Mitzrayim for over 100 years as slaves. The Egyptians were able to do anything to you, and they did. They tortured you, and they gave you tons of work to do. You had no control over your own life. They followed every single woman when she's pregnant. You think that they couldn't also rape a woman, that they couldn't take a woman, they couldn't seduce a woman? You think that all of your fathers are who you think they are? They're from the Shvatim of Reuven, Shimon Levi, they're the son of Reuven or the grandson of Reuven. You think you know what Shevet you belong to? You're probably, most of you, children of Egyptians. They were slaves for 100 years. There's a lot of Egyptian mixed into you. And therefore, and there was no proof, and there's no witnesses to say that no woman ever got pregnant from an Egyptian, let alone thousands of them, which should have been the case. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu put his name into every Jewish family. He put a hey in the beginning and a yud at the end, says Chazal, as to put a stamp that there's Ashras, Ashkina here, the Shekhinah resides here in this family. There was no rape here, there was no cheating here, there was no seduction here by Egyptians. Every single Jewish woman, the hundreds and thousands of them, for over 100 years while being slaves, were kept in their purity. Both they didn't fall, and the Egyptians didn't attack them and make it happen. There was a nace maybe greater than the nace of Kriyas Yamsuf, protecting the lineage of the Jewish people. Otherwise, there would be no Jewish people. It would have just been a mush of Egyptian, Jewish, no Shvatim. This is what protected the Jewish people. Hashem did a nace that the lines wouldn't be crossed between the Egyptian men and the Jewish women, except for one time the Torah gives one exception about one woman that's recorded, and we know exactly who it was, and otherwise there was nobody else. And how were they zocha for this to happen? So there's a midrash in Vayikra Rabbah that says, Ayidei shagadru Yisrael b'mitzrayim atzma min ha'erva. Since Kleiso were very careful not to be over on Gilei Arayos, not to be with women that they weren't allowed to be with, and women not to be with men they're not allowed to be with, therefore, nigalu mitzrayim. That's why the Gula happened. That's why they were saved from Mitzrayim, because they were tzanua, and they weren't with people that they weren't allowed to be with. And what gave them that koach, continues the Midrash, Yosef yarad l'mitzrayim v'gadar atzma min ha'erva. Yosef was sent down to Egypt, and he put a fence around himself against all odds, and he kept himself away from Arayos. V'nigdaru Yisrael v'schuto. All of Klai Yisrael had fences, secret, hidden fences around the men, around the woman, that protected them in the areas of Gilei Arayos, that those lines weren't crossed. It was all b'schus Yosef's test. Had Yosef failed, then the Jews wouldn't have had that protection. This was all a setup and part of the wisdom, the hidden godly wisdom, divine wisdom, that no one could have thought of. Not Yaakov, not Yosef. How does any of this make sense? Why is a pure, holy child, the son of a prophet, learning under his father, suddenly the next day find himself in the deepest, darkest of places of Mitzrayim? Why is that happening? He's actually saving and building the entire Jewish people by being placed in a place of tremendous test. And when he builds fences around himself, he's really building fences around every single Jewish woman for the next couple of 100 years. And one thing we learn from here, and many other sources that we could bring, we're not going to spend our time on it, but that when we fight a test and we pass it, then we pass that strength down to our children. And when we fail a test and we're weak in an area, it's not just that we're hurting ourselves and pleasuring ourselves, we're passing that weakness down to the next generation too. That also gets passed down. Every decision that you make is a decision not just for yourself, but you're deciding how strong and weak your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are going to be. And because Yosef passed this test, he saved all of the Jewish people. Yosef could have sat there in jail in Mitzrayim and said, if only I would be in Yaakov's house still, then I would be a Talmud Chacham. If only I'd be in Yaakov's house, then I would be like all the other Shvatim. They're going to have it much easier. I'm a lost case already. How am I going to raise children over here? How could I be one of the Shvatim anymore? How is anything going to ever come out of me? There's no way out. And if he didn't think that the first day or the second day, maybe on year 10 or year 15 or year 20, he could have started to think that. And the whole thing turned around also in one day. He interpreted the dream, boom, like 2 years, then nothing happened. He didn't see that end in sight. 2 years later, boom, one day, he's like the leader of Mitzrayim. The same way, if on one day he was down deep in Mitzrayim, the next day he's suddenly up there as a leader of Mitzrayim. But he had all this time to think to himself, what's the point? Why me? If only I would have been born like this. If only this would have happened to me. He had every excuse, more excuses than any of us could and would ever have to just let go, give up, and go with the flow and not keep himself on the level of the Shvatim. And what came out of Yosef? Two Shvatim. Ephraim and Manasseh. He was more than just another Shevet. Yosef was two Shvatim. Ephraim and Manasseh. So often we just excuse ourselves or think, I can't go this far. I can never be that great. I can't stay away from this. Because had I grown up like him, or if I didn't have that test, or if I would have been stronger in this way, if, and everyone could fill in the blanks what their if only this would be, we all have a list of them, then I would be a tzaddik, then I would be good, but unfortunately that's not the case. Yosef didn't use those excuses at all, and he saved all the Jewish people because of himself. It says in Tehillim, I think, Ra'a Hayam Vayanos, like we say in Halah, Ra'a Hayam Vayanos, the sea saw, and then the sea ran away. When Klai Yisrael got to the sea split. What did the sea see that made it split? So the Midrash says, Ra'a Hayam Vayanos, Vayanos, the running away. That the sea saw the running away of Yosef from Eshes Potiphar. It says in the pasuk, Vayana Sachutza, that Yosef ran outside. The Yamsuf saw the schus of Yosef, that he ran away from Asia's Potiphar. And the sea said, well, if you were able to break your nature and fight against all odds, not the way a natural human being would go, and not be with Asia's Potiphar, then I could split. And because the bones of Yosef were being carried out of Mitzrayim, that's what made the sea end up splitting. Kriyas Yamsuf wouldn't have happened, and the Jewish people wouldn't have existed had Yosef not gone through those 22 years. If he would have just broken in any way, then there would be no continuation to the Jewish people. It made complete sense, but he only saw that much time afterwards. We have to give that much weight to every decision that we have in front of us. Now we have another decision in front of us. It says, Yaakov felt, I passed so many tests, so many challenges. Now it's over. Now I can rest. Let me just take it easy. On Yaakov Avinu's level, what that meant was sitting and learning, not what it would mean when we said, let's take it easy. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him, no, now there's another challenge yet to come. The learning is not meant to be done, it's not like a two-week great learning thing, I'd say during the Caleb challenge or whatever. We learn strong for 2 weeks and then it's over. I don't see it being over, by the way. I think the Beis Midrash looks pretty good even after everything was over. But there's another challenge now yet to come. In a couple of days from now, we have the Hanukkah challenge. This goes back even further back into Torah Tragah history. The Hanukkah challenge, probably 9 years or something already, 8, 9 years. And every year, I hung up a lot of the quotes from some of the years. It's written maybe a little too little that you have to really spend time reading them. But we have hundreds of testimonies already of guys that say this was unbelievable. This turned their life around. This turned their year around. If you ask somebody now who's in Torah Tragah then, what did you do on Hanukkah? The guys that did the Hanukkah challenge, remember what they did on Hanukkah with a smile and they're happy about it, and then they send money to support other people to do what they did. If you ask somebody that didn't do the Hanukkah challenge, what do you do on Hanukkah? They either forgot or they're embarrassed about it and they don't want their wife to know about it or they wish that it never happened. So let's make our Hanukkah one that we want to remember, one that we're proud of, one that Hanukkah is all about. We're about to say a few times a day the whole thing that we're celebrating, why we're lighting the candles, the whole reason why there is a Hanukkah. We're about to say that when the Yevanim came, they were coming, Lashkicham Torasecha, Ulavira Mechukei Ritzonecha. They wanted to make us forget the Torah. And then when we won, it says, V'zeidim b'yad oskei Torah secha. Hashem gave over the sinners into the hands of those that toiled in Torah. So we can't celebrate a holiday and say words over and over again of what this holiday is all about and then live more like the other side, more like the Yevanim. We have to live like the side that we're celebrating and the side that we're on, which is involvement in toiling in Torah. So of course, maybe for some reason, and I'm not clear how it started, but there shouldn't be, really, in the yeshiva world, of Hanukkah vacation. Hanukkah is the last time to vacation. Maybe a week before, maybe a week afterwards. But Hanukkah is all about Torah learning. If you look at all the Sfarim, they all talk about the importance of Torah learning on Hanukkah. So then, when you're in a yeshiva, to have a vacation really doesn't make any sense. But that's the situation. There is one. But we still now, maybe Hashem is saying, he knows we learn better when we learn on our own, when we learn because we want to, when we push ourselves and all that. So in Torah Chag in the last 8-9 years, so it really was a holiday of Oskei Torah Sechad. There really was tremendous Torah learning, even more than before and after Hanukkah. It's another opportunity. There was a ladder put in front of you in front of the Caleb Challenge. The same way you trusted it and you grew from it and you're proud of it, you feel good about it, trust this next ladder that's being put in front of you and figure out a way how you're going to learn this Hanukkah challenge. This 30 hours, it's an 8.5 day challenge. So there's many hours in 8.5 days. To find 30 hours, I don't know what percentage that is. I didn't figure that out for you, but you could find 30 hours. And we also made a 25 hour and a 20 hour option. But you could find 30 hours and still have fun and still relax and still have a fun time. We all, in Yitzhak Hashem, will do it and could do it. Now what's going to happen is there's going to be, I think, 5 or 6 different chaburas. So everybody from A to D, from Adler to Dow.